Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason. It's a little weirder to do that when I'm sitting right next to you.
Well, you know, that's it's the secret podcast in person. Not for the first time.
Not for the first time.
Because I remember standing on a balcony in Anaheim.
Oh, yeah.
A year ago. Almost exactly a year ago. In fact, it may be exactly a year ago for all we know.
Was it in October? Oh, man. I've forgotten already when it was.
It was. It was right before Halloween, because then I went straight from there to Ireland.
Mm.
And that was, I was in Ireland on Halloween, so it's almost exactly a year since we, did we do this in California? We must have.
We must have done it when at WWDC.
When you were visiting me.
Yeah, well, didn't we do it in the Airbnb?
In the relay bunker.
Yeah. I think we did.
Among the barracks?
Among the bunk beds. So not our first time, but.
No.
Maybe our first time on this coast.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
We are sitting on Dan's couch. I like how we just spent a minute of the podcast not remembering what we've done before, truly clinching the professionalism that is the Six Color Secret Subscriber podcast.
This is why they tune in.
This
right?
is why they pay us, Dan.
Don't remind them. They might stop.
I hope that's not why they for our poorly remembered things. We're drinking tea.
We're drinking tea. Tea
hey,
report.
I hear from a lot of subscribers who are like, don't let the people who don't care about tea get you down. Talk more about tea. Mm. Write more about tea. I don't know if that'll happen, but I will say...
Tea review?
We're... Oh, the mugs have clinked.
Quality.
Mmm. Tea.
Fresh from the robot.
So, Dan, you and I decided not to record this podcast at 3 a.m.
I think that was wise.
Which...
Although I was up for a couple hours afterwards, so I honestly... And I was, like, super awake, so yeah. That probably would have been fine. I could have rolled out of bed and done
so
that.
So it's the day after iPhone 10 pre-orders, and being on the East Coast, the worst place to buy a phone at midnight Pacific.
I have to admit,
3 a.m.
I laughed quite a bit when I realized you would be here during this time. I was like, oh, Jason. Oh, well, bad choice.
Bad call, right? Right? Yeah, so we got up at 3 a.m. And yeah, it would have been a really even dumber than this podcast usually is
this
if we were at
dumb.
3 a.m. and we're just like,
Did you get a phone?
And my answer would have been no. My answer would have been I got put in a queue.
You maybe got a phone?
Because AT&T... Oh, right. So let's break this down. When I bought an iPhone 8 last weekend for my wife, I bought it online and then did in-store pickup. And I just said, give me an iPhone 8. And they're like, what carrier? Or don't ask me about the carrier. Just give me the phone for full price and I'll deal with it, which I chose because I don't want to. It's like, yeah, I'm on AT&T. I will put her SIM card in the new phone and it will work. And AT&T, it's none of their business, whatever. I just want the phone. Give me the phone. We can't do that for the iPhone 10, at least not yet.
Yeah, I had a totally different experience to you because I went through the upgrade program. So
right.
I didn't see any of this.
Yeah, so I got the... when I finally got in at 3:05 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you people live like this.
It's only once a year.
All right. It says pick your carrier. I'm like, oh boy. Okay. I pick my carrier and it's like, okay, put in your phone number, the last four digits of the social security number on the account, which is my wife. So I had to look it up in one password.
Or you just ask Equifax.
Yeah. Yeah, I can just go to an open server.
Search it online, see if you can find it.
It'll be there. And all of that. And I get through that. And it fails. And I continue. And it fails. And I continue. And then it works. And I pick my phone. I do Space Gray 64. Continue. It fails. Continue. It fails. Continue. It works. And then I get to a page that says... we can't contact your carrier right now. You have an order.
All lines are busy.
Here is your order number. We will email you when your carrier information reaches us to complete this, and then you'll have 24 hours to complete the order. So here's a question that we don't know the answer to is, does that you have a phone waiting for you have reserved a phone, it said. So do I have a phone sitting there for November 3rd or November 10th or something like that that is just waiting for AT&T's servers to uncrash and give me the information?
Probably. I feel like at some point in the next few days, because clearly AT&T's servers were just not prepared for this, it will unclog. Yeah.
Oh, I tried to order at AT&T too, and they got me to the point where I could put in my credit card, and then that failed. And I put in like three different credit cards, and they all failed, so it's not me.
This is basically the story of me buying tickets for The Last Jedi a couple weeks ago, where it's like, oh, I've got seats, get all the way through. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't complete your order. And then I like having to go back, and, oh, God, now those seats are taken. Yeah. Oh, I got to find new seats.
So the Equifax IT director works at AT&T now, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he moved from AMC theaters, apparently, so they're really just bouncing around.
So in the end, I went to bed with the completely unfulfilling prospect of getting an email at some point from Apple, maybe, about maybe getting a phone sometime. But you went through upgrade program.
I went through the upgrade program. We didn't really talk about this because we didn't do
We didn't do a show. I remembered on Saturday and it was too late and you were busy and it was too late. But I just want to be clear. The upgrade program, meaning the Apple iPhone upgrade program,
yes.
Not the upgrade program
that you host.
That goes into the your podcast listener of choice on Mondays. No,
yes,
it's a different program.
Though, you know, maybe Apple will acquire you and you rebrand you the iPhone upgrade program. only talk about the iPhone upgrade program.
Yeah, that's
program
one now. Really big episode a year.
I wrote a little piece about this on Six Colors about how the upgrade program has improved every year. And actually, this year so far appears to be very clearly the best so far, in that I could basically go in starting on Monday and go through the whole process of getting the loan approved, which had to be done in the store previous years. And sort of like I went in and like, because I currently have one and I'm upgrading, it's like, all right, you've got your, we know what phone you have, pick the phone you want to upgrade to. Put in your, you know, information. It downloaded everything from my current loan, so it like had all my addresses, everything in there, and it's like, yep, just sign off on this, and you sort of go through the process. It runs you through approval, and then goes, all right, like come back at 3 a.m. And I'm like, it's like the worst. It's like bureaucracy. It's like if you went to the DMV and we're like, okay, you're good, come back at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. Yeah. We'll take your picture for your license.
I was thinking it's more like you go to the DMV and you get to the end of the line. It's like a 30-minute line and you fill out all the forms and they're like, great,
go to this line.
There's a lot around the corner. There's another room with another line. Wait in that line.
That basically sounds like a lot of the cons I've ever been to.
I was also going to say that sounds like a mid 20th century play by an Eastern European playwright.
Yeah, waiting in line for Godot.
Yeah, the upgrade program.
The update program. And so I went, once I got the store to load at 3:05, it automatically popped up a screen that said, would you like to complete your process? Like, go ahead. And so I tapped through. I had to select a couple things. It was 3 a.m, so I don't remember very well what I was like. So yes, just take it. And then they threw up one error at one point where it didn't like, this was weird, it didn't like my alternate phone number, how it was formatted, which is like my Google Voice number. And it's weird because like even the brief I looked at it, I'm like, it looks exactly like the main phone number above it. Like it's the parentheses. Why do you care about this? Why is it the forms are so bad at phone numbers?
Phone numbers.
They're weirdly bad at that. I realize there's a couple ways it can be done, but you should be able to account for all of those pretty easily.
This is a solved problem, right? Yeah. I did that when I was placing my online order for the iPhone 8, is that I just put in the 10-digit number with no dashes or everything, and it was like, whoa, I don't know what you're talking about here. Really?
How many numbers do you have in your phone number?
Apple webpage?
Yeah, you should be able to handle
that.
Yeah. But anyways, I clicked through that, and I hit the button, and it said order placed. And then I was a little paranoid, so I wasn't ready to like put down my phone until I got the confirmation email, which came through, 5 minutes later or something like that. But it says November 3rd.
And then you went right to sleep.
And then I ideally went right to sleep, except I was awake at that point, and I don't fall asleep easily again after I'm awake. So I was up for like 2 hours. It was pretty boring.
I think I fell back asleep fairly quickly after that, although, sleeping in an unusual location.
Right.
You can never tell. And I woke up a few times and went back to sleep, and it wasn't that big a thing, but what I'm saying is my sleep was already disrupted,
right?
Because I'm traveling.
Yeah. So, anyway, so it says I got a phone for the 3rd. It should be delivered.
So, given how the systems of all these big companies are going up and down at 3 a.m., I was debating with somebody on Twitter about like why Apple makes everybody go through this process. And I'm starting to think the reason is specifically to suppress traffic.
Yeah.
On their US servers.
I can't think of another good reason.
Like, let's take, 'cause so I looked it up. 3/4 of the United States population, I believe, is in the Eastern or Central time zones. So if you put it at midnight Pacific, it's not great for the West Coast, but most of the United States is way asleep at that point, right? And so you're really suppressing. And the people who really want it will get up at 3 a.m., but yeah. Most people will be like, oh, the new iPhone's for sale. In fact, I got my email from Apple, my marketing email, at 6 a.m.
I had it this morning when I woke up, and I was like, ha-ha, suckers, I already did it.
Yeah, but they send that later, right?
You've already got my money. Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, well, I can't think of another rational reason, and I think you're right. Like, it seemed pretty smooth to me. Like, once the store came up, I didn't have any of those things I've experienced in years past where, like, I hit a button and I wait for a while, like you did. It sounds like where you like it failed.
I had a few failures.
I had none of that. And I also am kind of wondering, since the iPhone upgrade program, people could go through that approval process ahead of time. I'm wondering whether they like, if not prioritize, like I wonder if that gives you a little bump, because there were complaints in the first couple of years of the program. It's like, hey, I'm paying all this extra money. Like I'm paying a subscription fee to you. Essentially,
I want to be able to get the phone day one.
I should be able to get the phone because I'm committing to this. Mm-hmm. And I understand both sides of that issue as someone who does like sign up for that. Well, like it feels like I'm a committed customer. I've proved my loyalty. And,
even
like,
if all they're doing is allowing you to hit the app at 3 a.m. like everyone else, because mm-hmm. the complaint before was like you had to wait behind everyone else,
right.
And it was unclear. And were they coming out of another allotment? I think it's probably the fairest thing to do. Maybe, I mean, if you want special priority, maybe that would be unfair to a different group. But maybe, I mean, there's a lot of certain things in a product rollout like this are very clearly constrained by things that are kind of out of Apple's control.
Sure.
But there are also decisions Apple makes. Apple
exactly.
can, where do you go in the flow? Where do the people who are ordering a shipment go in the flow? And of course, a story that got reported a little bit this week, but I think it's worth mentioning, like Apple assured people that there would be stock in stores as well.
Yes.
And that people should get there early to line up. And it's very hard not to look at that. And we've talked about this in past years too, as Apple wants there to be lines at Apple stores on iPhone launch day. So they will engineer the way that you do it, whether it's your in-store pickup where you have to wait in a line in order to pick up your phone, or whether it's waiting in a random line to get an iPhone, because
right.
they want public displays of enthusiasm
sure.
for the media to cover to get to make iPhone mania a thing, because they could very easily say, don't come to the stores, we'll ship it to your house, but
right.
they don't want to do that,
right? And the trick there is obviously, like, you know, kind of in Tim Cook's wheelhouse where it's managing inventory, right? Like, how many units do we send to, we're gonna have some in stores, how
this
many
is, what,
units?
25 countries, I mean, it's also a huge launch,
right? 25
right?
countries, and like, keep in mind how
so
many stores are in each country.
And it looks like
how
the carriers got individual
them?
Allotments,
yep. yeah,
because you could order
well.
From a carrier's website, and you've got to pick the carrier on the Apple website. So I wonder if they had they have specific allotments there. And then, of course, how many Space Grays do you make, and how many Silvers do you
different
make?
Different capacities. Like, how do you arrange all those SKUs?
That's what, you know, Tim Cook is famously, you know, he made his name at, and his team is probably very good at that. Because the last thing you want is, I mean, the last thing you want is, we have 8-week availability for the 256 Space Gray, but you can walk into a store and buy a 64 Silver today, right?
Right. Now,
just because, I mean, sometimes that'll happen, but ideally you want to have it kind of be balanced, where you're making enough of everything so that it's all equal.
Right. And of course, this has been a big topic of discussion, because there's been questions. Basically, ever since the rumors of this like next gen iPhone came out, it was always it would ship later, which was true, mm-hmm. and there would be fewer
supply constraint. Yeah,
and Apple is always fairly supply constrained with like really like the top end units.
Yeah, the most popular iPhones stay in constraint for a while. That happens every year.
Has not happened to the 8, as far as I can tell. The
online
reports that we've heard, like
in store. Well, I mean, when I bought my wife's 8, I there were a few times where I was thinking of getting it. So over a course of about a week, I kept checking, and it was always about 2 weeks out to ship it to me. But
it
was always available in store.
Interesting.
You just walk right in and get it.
Yeah, because it's and that also there were reports some places where the carriers were saying. Reporters, analysts looking at carriers were claiming that the 7 was outselling the 8 from carriers. I don't think that took into account Apple stores, and knowing Apple's mix of products, it's hard to read too much into that.
Yeah.
But there's also a strong argument that a lot of people who, if there were no 10, obviously would have bought the 8. A lot of people held off for the 10. Obviously, there's another phone, right? Like,
I talked about that in Upgrade this week, and there should be a story posting today at some point. You got to read that story, see if there's something stupid
on,
in there.
On the list.
But that's my long-awaited, not awaited by anyone, iPhone 8 review. And that's one of my points, is that what's notable about this phone in some ways from the harder core Apple Watcher perspective is that those people don't care about the iPhone 8 largely because they're so excited about the iPhone 10.
The last time we had something that was similar to that was probably the 5C, which was, you know, again, a phone that came out at the same time as 5S, and most of the people who were like really into the iPhones, the cutting edge stuff, were going to buy the 5S, not the 5C. But yeah, this is an 8 and a 10, yeah. Anyways, so yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a while before we have a really good idea of how many units they're shipping. It sounds like, from what I've read briefly this morning, they've already slipped a few weeks, but a lot of people were expecting, like, oh, if you don't get in at 3 o'clock, like January, right? And I don't think so far it seems like that's borne out.
No, it seems to be sliding, but not quite that much. So, and there was a funny tweet that I saw today, which was that you saw that one too, right? That's Tim Cook is giggling in the inventory surrounded by millions and millions of iPhones.
Yeah.
We got it covered. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't.
Yeah. And then the question is always, like, there's managing perception there too, right? Because if you have way more than it looks like, everyone's like, oh, people don't want it.
Right.
And it's like, that's not, well, that's one way to read that, but it's not necessarily the correct way.
And you don't want to overbuild it. That's the bottom line. That's the lesson of so many manufacturers who ended up having to landfill things, is you want to really kind of like fulfill demand. You want to fulfill it like in time, just in time.
Right. You want to, and you want to be selling as many as you can make.
Right. If I can sell 1,000 a day, I want to tune my factory to make 1,000 a day.
Right. Because otherwise you have some sitting on shelves, right? You have to manage inventory, all that's a pain.
Yeah. It's amazing, complicated stuff that it's not interesting to everybody, but it is vital in putting products,
especially
into the
this
world.
Many, right? Like, we're talking tens of millions of iPhones.
iPhone scale is so huge that, there are consumer products that do this, but that we're talking about like a tube of toothpaste or something like that.
Right. There's not a lot of complicated parts in that. This is sort of what spawned that article in Bloomberg, which I think has been criticized in many places, probably rightfully so. There is certainly an interesting question there, right? Like, they are producing these new components that have not been produced at this scale before. And that is a challenge, to produce these, like, the true depth cameras, right? Like,
right.
Nobody's made them, and they've certainly not made them on the scale of delivering tens of millions of them. So there's a challenge there.
It's the components and then the integration, right? They also have to put it together in that sensor housing, and presumably, they're not buying
because it's completed, three different components.
Buying a completed thing. They're buying like the infrared dot projector, and they're buying an infrared camera,
has a couple different suppliers, so they need to manage, make sure they're like consistent. Because like we've had things in the past where was it? It was, I think, back in the days when you had like hard drives, right? Like, you'd have different vendors supplying Apple in the hard drive, and some people are like, oh, you want to get the one with the good hard drive in it, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
you want to get the Seagate and not the Hitachi.
And
hard
there's
drive
no way to know that going in. No. Like, sometimes you could pick
turn
the right
it on,
capacity,
get info.
Yeah, and so who knows? We might there might be a question of whether or not like Apple obviously wants to
that
smooth
actually,
that
happened with
possible.
The Intel and the Qualcomm.
Modems, right.
That was part of the deal there, that there was some variance, and Apple doesn't want the customer to feel that there's any variance between
absolutely.
Them. Absolutely. And that's part of their
you certainly don't
part of their deal.
Want to feel like you got the bum Face ID camera that doesn't recognize your face or whatever. So, but there is an open question of whether or not we haven't seen that widely deployed yet.
I saw a quote in a story, and I'm not sure whether it was Bloomberg or somewhere else, but it was about Apple's production stuff, and what they said was, it may have been responding to the Bloomberg story and their sort of like denial that they had.
They did issue a denial.
One of the things that they said was that the challenge that Apple has is they want to ship cutting edge hardware. I think during Fireball, I think Gruber linked to it. They want to ship cutting edge hardware, but at scale,
right?
which is that is the ongoing challenge with Apple, is that Apple, this is why it takes, as Gruber pointed out this week, why it takes Apple sometimes a couple of years, why the narrative of like Apple just figured out this summer that they couldn't get Touch ID to work, so they invented Face ID, is totally wrong.
Right.
That people at Apple will tell you that they went all in on Face ID more than a year ago. They knew that the Face ID was going to be better than Touch ID. That's what they were going to build. And it takes that amount of time to get the parts in place, mm-hmm. able to be manufactured and shipped at scale, because yeah. Apple can't do, again, I don't want to beat up on the Essential phone, the Andy Rubin's phone, but it's like they sold a few thousand of those. Like, Apple needs every iPhone to ship millions and millions and millions of units.
Right.
And yet they are challenged to have it be cutting-edge tech. And this is how you do it, is you spend years laying the groundwork and getting your supply chain in place and all of these things, which is why we could argue that... although some people like say, does Tim Cook have a product vision? What's, you know, as CEO of Apple, a big part of Apple's business today, existence today, is owed to the supply chain,
yeah,
and the management of manufacturing, because right. they can't be as big as they are unless they can execute at scale.
I mean, if somebody comes into your, if you make, you know, handmade artisanal cupcakes from the best ingredients, and someone comes in, it's like, yeah, 1 dozen cupcakes. It's like, sure, no problem. Somebody comes in, it's like, I want 20 million cupcakes. You're going to have a hard time
it's
making
not,
20 million
it's
cupcakes
not
at that,
possible.
At that
and,
quality.
Yeah, and you could argue I'm constructing an alternate take on Tim Cook here. You could argue that Tim Cook's and his team's and the culture that he's kind of spawned of supply chain management and being able to make these cutting edge products happen is actually really good for Apple's creative product direction, mm-hmm. because it allows the people who are building this new tech to have the confidence
they can deliver,
to propose technology that is really pushing things with confidence that it will be shippable.
Right.
And that if you worked for a company that was not able to manufacture cutting edge products at scale and required scale, you would just not be able to design cutting-edge products.
Yeah, you'd have to either cut corners or just abandon things, right? Like, if you came right. like, well, hey, we came up with this great system, and it's like, yeah, but can we make, you know, 20,000 of these things? We can't, you know, it'd be kind of tough. But what if we did, like, a cheaper version where we did this? That's how compromises get made. And sometimes constraints can bring creativity, but, like, mm-hmm. On the other end of that spectrum, on the other end of the bell curve, you get the idea that, like, if you can deliver products at scale, that does free up the sort of... I was about to say blue sky engineering, but I would have to slap myself.
Ooh. I do wonder, a pet theory of mine based on all the rumors and stuff is, obviously they were working on this last year. The question is, was there a point last year where they thought they could ship it last year and that they realized that they couldn't, or were they always targeting 2017? Because I do believe that sort of thing happens at Apple, where they hedge their bets and they say, you know, when can we ship this? And and they're like, let's try to ship it now. And then they look and they're like, no, we can't ship it now.
If
and
they
we put it off.
If they shipped it last year, do you think it would have been the iPhone 9?
That I don't know. Who knows? They may have changed their naming strategy 10 times between then and now. It'd be the iPhone 8.
Yeah,
who knows?
Could have been. I mean, well, the absence of the iPhone 9 is still one of those like weird things, especially because there was no Windows 9 either.
Remember,
just, like, people like worried about.
Remember, 9. OS 9 came out after OS 10.
That's right, it did.
So it would not surprise me if there is an iPhone 9 next year.
I'm kind of thinking the successor to the 8 will be the 9,
yeah.
And either there will be another 10 or the 10 will sit for a year.
I can't wait for the funeral for the iPhone 9. Right? Tim Cook will come out.
Or the
they'll
coffin.
They'll have an oversized novelty iPhone in a coffin.
Please put on your augmented reality glasses now to see the funeral.
Yeah. Yeah, oh my God, the iPhone moved. In AR, the iPhone moved.
It's even not
though it's dead.
Don't bury it.
No, it's dead. It's gone. No, I think... Anyway, I wonder about that, because they obviously do have those moments where they say, okay, we got to cut bait on this. We got to move on. We can't ship it now. But now they're shipping it. And, you know, it's a $1,000 phone, so we'll see how it does. But there's obviously some initial demand for it. And I think I think the beauty of it, and this is sort of in my, this may be my conclusion that I haven't written yet for my iPhone review that's posting today, which is a little behind the scenes. I haven't written the conclusion yet. I wrote the rest of it. Got to get
it out. Wasn't just like, yeah, iPhone 8 is pretty good.
I got it. Man, I could do that. I got to get it out before the iPhone 10 ships. So it has to be today. I think the beauty of the way that this has worked out is that the iPhone 8 is a perfectly good phone that's going to be a great upgrade if you're coming from a 6 or a 6S. And that a lot of people who are not Apple nerds will look at the iPhone 10 and be like, that's new and weird and expensive, and why would I want that? And when I talked to Lauren about this, you know, I said, I don't think you want the iPhone 10. And she says, no, I don't want the iPhone 10, right? Like, it's like, no. That's ridiculous. Like, just get me the... And also, from her perspective, it was like, you know, iPhones are expensive enough, especially now that you see the full price and it isn't subsidized. They're expensive enough. Like, she and I had a conversation about whether she would want a 7 or an 8, and I decided that she should get the 8 because that's one more year of life down the road, and she tends to be somebody who keeps a phone for three plus years, and that I thought buying a 7 today, I'd rather spend a little more money by the 8 and theoretically have it last a year more.
But it's not hard to see people doing that calculus and coming up with the fact that it's like, oh, the iPhone 7 is cheaper and is pretty good, and if you turn your phone over every couple of years, it's probably fine.
So here's the thing. So when people analyze, you can really get... see the trees and not the forest when we talk about this stuff. And I see some analysis like this. So the iPhone 10, oh, well, it's pretty expensive. Some people will buy it, some people won't. But the iPhone 8's there. Oh, yeah, but you know, the iPhone 7's also still available and all that. Guess what? Here's the secret. Apple makes money on every single one of those. Yep. If you buy the iPhone 7, Apple's fine with that. If you buy the iPhone 8, also fine.
Yep.
iPhone 10, very happy, also fine, and they will adjust their manufacturing to meet those things. They're making profit margin on every single one of them.
The only people who actually care are the analysts.
And
who
it
are just
seems
playing.
Highly unlikely that the iPhone 7 is going to totally outsell the iPhone 8 and make the iPhone 8 a mistake phone and an afterthought. But if it did go in that direction, Apple would ramp up production of the 7, ramp down production of the 8, still make a profit on every phone they sold, and be fine.
The best situation you can be in is the one where you win no matter what, right? And that's what they've positioned themselves for. That's why they have an iPhone at every price point from like $300 all the way up to $1,000. It's like,
so as long as you're buying an iPhone, it doesn't matter which one really that you're buying in terms of
Apple, everybody went out and bought an iPhone SE, then maybe they'd be like, well, we could have done better.
What is happening?
That wouldn't be great.
The SE2 would then appear.
Yeah, sure. John Maltz would be very
Maltz
happy.
Phone. The mythical Maltz phone. Yeah. So, I think that's the thing to keep in mind too, is that the nice thing about the iPhone 10 existing is that it is not the phone that is mandatory for everybody.
Right.
I mean, for us it's kind of mandatory because it's new and interesting and we have to write about it and talk about it, but there's nothing wrong with the consumer opting for the 8 or even the 7, and Apple is happy to make those. I mean, Apple's offering those options. Apple wants to be spread across all those price points. Sure. And they don't want to force somebody to buy a $1,000 phone that they don't want to buy, right? They want to be able to say, well, you buy the SE. It's cheap and really good.
Right. There was a weird
success, basically.
Yeah. And there was a weird story somewhere that I remember seeing, might have been in that Bloomberg piece as well, where it talked about, people not buying an iPhone and like because of perceived like manufacturing shortages, like, oh, they're worried like people might go and buy a Samsung phone instead. And it's like, I don't actually think there are that many sort of swing buyers, as it were, who are like, oh, I'm on the fence, maybe I'll buy an iPhone, maybe I'll buy a Samsung.
They exist.
There's some, but it's not a big percentage. I think most people have, especially now where when you buy into a platform, you get kind of stuck. So I think there's so many, like, you might switch around in Android too, right? Like, there's a little more flexibility there.
The argument with Android, I mean, within Android, obviously you can move around a lot. The argument with Android is that there's a switching opportunity to iPhone that exists because some degree of the Android buyers are kind of like buying a cheap, you know, it's not a feature phone, but it's like a non-premium smartphone. And then when they decide that they want to buy a nicer smartphone, they start to think about the iPhone.
Yeah.
And Samsung, let's say.
Yeah.
Or maybe, and maybe even
and I know
Google
enough people
Pixel.
Who are just, you know, don't want to buy Apple products too. So
sure.
Like they
well, that,
exist.
And those people are never going to switch
that's
to
why
Apple
they're
products.
Not a swing,
they're
is my
totally,
point. Is like
they're totally
they're,
out of it.
They're not, yeah. So I don't think that there's that many undecideds, as it were.
Well, and the existence of a product at the top of the line, I don't really believe is going to impact buying psychology to like, no. Well, Apple sells phones from $300 to $1,000 to $300 to $1,200. I'm so offended by the $1,200 that I'm not going to buy an Apple phone.
That seems silly.
Right? I don't think most people are going to be there. Well, there are people who will be there, but it seems unlikely that they were ever going to buy an Apple product.
Exactly.
Anyway.
I mean, in the long and short of it is smartphones are expensive.
Yeah.
Period.
The premium smartphones are all
and
right, all
if
this
you
expensive.
Want anything more than like a really basic smartphone, then it's going to be more expensive.
Yeah, the Pixel and the Galaxy Note and the Galaxy are all like on the high end. And yeah, if you're somebody who's offended that a phone costs $600, $700, buy a $300 Android phone. You'll get what you pay for, but
yeah,
you
you'll
do
replace
it
in a year and then you'll buy another $300
yeah,
Android
that
phone.
May,
and,
that may be.
Yeah.
So it will be really interesting to see where the order times go mm-hmm. over the next week or two as people get their email from Apple saying the iPhone 10 exists.
Oh, the iPhone 10 exists. I should go order
and
one.
On launch day when people see stories about the iPhone 10 and say, oh, I should go order one. Does it get pushed past Christmas? You know, but when I said it could be supply constrained into next year, maybe even like quite a ways into next year, I'm thinking more... not that you can't, that if you order in 2 weeks, you'll get it in June, but more like Apple will get on a quarterly call and say, you know, we're still constrained where you can't readily just walk into a store and pick one up on a given day or place an online order and have it shipped that day. Because it does seem like Apple has decided that one of the metrics people use in terms of availability is, can I walk into a store and buy sure. it? And so they've prioritized that, which is why the last two times I've wanted to buy something, an Apple TV and an iPhone 8, I've had to go to my local Apple store because I was going to wait a couple of weeks online and they were all in stock at the store.
They want to drive you to the store too because you'll buy other stuff.
Buy accessories and things like that. Yeah, so that's part of their strategy. But I do think that into next year, you will not be able to do like... we'll ship this to you in 2 days or pick it up in the store today. I think it's going to be a while.
I'm just browsing because I was curious to see what it was currently. And it looks like, at least for Verizon, I'm checking AT&T as well. Yeah, it looks like across the board, you're looking at like 5 or 6 weeks now.
Yeah.
So you're looking at ships in 5 to 6 weeks, which means late November. Still make it by the holidays if you are
yeah, that's more like early
present.
December, 6 weeks.
Yeah. So that's...
just in time for your HomePod.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering. I'm thinking, like, am I going to have to do this again? There's not going to be that kind of demand for a HomePod, right?
I don't
right?
think there will be that kind of demand. But then again, there won't be that kind of supply. So there's the question of, like, how many HomePods are they making?
Probably, well, if it ships in December, you might just miss, they probably miss the, like, holiday window.
Well, or are they making so many of them because they really want them to be available for the holidays? Who knows?
Yeah, except for it's like Apple and whatever they say, something ships in December, like it ships like the end of the month.
I know. I really want to know whether anybody will get their hands on an iMac Pro before the first of the year.
Yeah, I don't think maybe
I'm available
a few, but
to all those people out there who are listening who are at Apple, I'm just saying I'm not going anywhere for the holidays, so I'll drive down on New Year's Eve, pick up an iMac Pro.
Yeah, me neither. I can pick up
I'm
a HomePod. I'm available.
I'm on it. I'm not going anywhere. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's that season. It's a season of buying Apple gear.
That's right. Season of waking up at 3 a.m. so that you can spend $1,000 plus tax.
I feel a little bit more like a sucker when we put it that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you on your couch.
Yeah. Thanks for being here on my couch.
Sure. No problem. Thanks to everybody out there for listening and supporting Six Colors. We really appreciate it. I think we got a magazine to do.
Yeah, we should do that.
I don't know if that's going to come out today or if that's going to come out like on Halloween, but there's...
if anybody's got requests, there's always we're always happy to answer your questions.
Yeah, my guess is that it's not going to go out until like Halloween, but just because...
Spooktacular.
Oh, yeah, it could be. It could be a Shocktober edition. yeah, all right. But anyway, thank you for being a subscriber and for being patient with us when we miss weeks doing the podcast. But hey, we were here in person this time. That was great.
Extra bonus.
Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.